Radio, your gamer's role. www.d20radio.com.
Translating the strain.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of Translating the Strange, the podcast dedicated to the new RPG from the wonderful minds at Monte Cook Games, The Strange. With me tonight is my co-host, Brandon Ording.
Hello.
And subbing in for our contributor, Darcy Ross, instead we have tonight Andrew Cady, a good substitute. Don't want to make it sound like it's a lesser thing, although I guess by saying that I already have.
Hello.
I kid. He's my GM. I can pick on him. It's what we do. So welcome to the show, and we have a fantastic show ahead of for us. Tonight we have our very own Monte Cook Games senior everything, Monte Cook himself.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great. You guys were supposed to answer him.
Oh, we're doing great. Glad to be here.
And
such esteemed company.
Along with Monty, we have the just as esteemed and just as awesome and wonderful Bruce Cordell.
Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys.
Awesome.
It is sincerely our pleasure. You guys are obviously two of the biggest minds behind The Strange itself, and it's truly an honor every time we have you on. We don't ever want to take
take advantage of.
Thank you, Brandon. That's why you're on and I'm not. So let's get right into it. We have you guys on here, and it's a gift to have you on here. So let's talk about The Strange. Where are you guys with the project? Everybody, I'm sure, is, you know, been following along with the bits of news that have come out. But where are you, and what's going on in the game?
Well, the main bulk of the document is in the layout artist's hands, which means she's actually laying out all the pages, which I guess means that it's written, it's edited. The art is all in, so we are at exciting times. It is actually coming together as a book.
Great, fantastic. So I'm assuming you got good feedback from the playtest experiences.
Yep, there was a lot of good things that we, especially when the playtesters would kind of focus in on a similar topic, then we could be like, okay, this really needs some work. So yeah, it was really useful feedback, and we really appreciate everyone who took the time to play some Strange and give us some feedback.
Very cool. Well, we'll definitely talk about what we can in a little bit more about that. I'm trying to think here, and again, sorry for my rustiness. What's the next step? So obviously it's in the hands of the layout artist. Are you guys already working on other books? Are you working on Numenera work at the current time? What's on your current plates?
Well, so yeah, there's a lot of other things going on because the Strange Kickstarter promised many other things. I think it was Shauna today posted some XP cards for the Strange that are going to be showing up. And I've been working on the adventure, which is the Dark Spiral, and that's been going great. And there's just a host of other things that, on the Strange side of things anyway, that like Charles Ryan, our COO, is getting together, which include the player's kit and the fan kit, all the various items that go with that. So we've been kind of moving forward on all fronts, not just the core book, but all the other, elements that fall into place. In fact, I'm like, as of today, I'm 40,000 words into the 52,000 word adventure first draft.
Oh, very cool.
Pretty good progress then.
Yeah. So the Dark Spiral is kind of the Devil's Spine equivalent for The Strange, the big first kind of mega module.
Yeah, we decided Adventure. That all of our first adventures are going to have the initials DS.
That's like, yeah, I was getting there. Thank you. Yeah.
Just made the joke before me. Yep.
Very cool.
Right. You know, it's so probably also worth that. Throwing in there, too, that as we are putting the final touches on the core book, we are also pulling together the player's guide. The cool. Strange is going to have a player's guide in the same way that Numenera did. But it's going to be actually a little bit meatier because there's probably even more information that the player needs to know in The Strange.
Cool.
Will that still be all content that's shared or have any unique content?
It'll have a little bit of unique content, correct. I think.
No.
Not the player. Okay, well.
Actually, Bruce, you're right.
Yeah, I think it's going to have some pre-generated characters.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a good inclusion. That's not a big missing factor from a core book. So that's a great inclusion.
Yeah, I can definitely see how having some pre-generated characters could be pretty cool.
Very helpful.
We have we've been definitely experimenting a lot with player character record sheets, with character sheets, we've really come up with something, actually, and we can't take a lot of credit for it. A guy named Lee Smith, an artist, came up with a really cool way to do character sheets for The Strange. You know, mm-hmm. The Strange requires some special considerations because your character changes when you go from recursion to recursion.
Yep. Excellent.
I was wondering how y'all are going to do that on a sheet. Going to be happy to see.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yeah,
I can almost see like some kind of a digital thing, you know, being necessary because of that. Almost like a section changes out, but I'm sure you guys have. It sounds like you've come up with a cool way to do it on paper.
Oh no, we're using sure tattoos a lot of people actually. So.
Yeah, tattoos. Well, that's nice. Do you touch the tattoo and it triggers some power?
Something like that.
No, it'll definitely be interesting to see what you guys have come up with because through some of the play tests, I've definitely run into this. Oh, well, this changes and this stays the same, and so it'll be nice to see how you manage to tackle that.
One of the things the play testers provided for us, we sent a call out and said, "Hey, send us the sheets you've been using," and we kind of got to take a look at all the various play testers and all the various sheets, and that helped us. You know, that informed our decision when we were trying to figure out what to do. So that was good.
Oh, wait, we lost somebody. We lost Monty.
I'm back.
Oh, good, good, good. All right. Well, that won't be... We'll just edit out this bit. So. No problem. All right, so we'll just get right back into it. So character sheet. So you got some good feedback from the playtest?
That's right. Well, we asked for a bunch of the the playtesters to send us the kind of character sheets they were using for their own games. And there was quite a bit of, you know, difference between the kind of character sheets people were using. But we got to kind of pluck the best ideas from all of them, I think, and that helped inform. But like Monty said, I think the main breakthrough came with Lee Smith coming up with an idea mm-hmm. how to have essentially a base sheet that can kind of serve you, but then mm-hmm. a cool way of adding a subsidiary sheet or two to add your additional recursions.
Cool. That's a cool idea. Well, alrighty then. So let's talk about the four kind of main areas. And I know these are the things that you've probably had the most public release on, but it's nice to kind of just encapsulate them. So the main areas, obviously, it's more likely that you're probably going to start out on Earth, modern Earth, with this kind of hidden edge. I know there's been references of influence of Fringe, Men in Black, some of this stuff of, you know, maybe even Matrix-y of modern world, but there's some edge that most people aren't aware of. Would that be an accurate description?
Yeah, I think that helps. That starts to encapsulate it. But you know, the edge, of course, is the fact that there are these other recursions and things sometimes, you know, and people certainly can translate out of these recursions and take on the context of people from Earth. in the least defensive way of coming to Earth, but they can also come across in a more direct fashion through an opposite gate. And a piece of fiction that Monty wrote the last time we did Fiction for the Strange in the, I think it was called The Paradox Room, kind of covered that when a dragon from Arden came through and found that the laws of standard physics weren't quite up to supporting its magical-based physiology.
Absolutely. Very cool. So that's certainly, of course, obviously the rules for translating and how all that takes place and even those less elegant methods, I'm sure, are a big focus of the rules in the core book.
Yeah, basically translating gets its own whole section because it is something very unique to this game. And it, I won't say that it's complex. I will say that it's involved. But I think rightfully so, because it is a key cornerstone. You know, you want something that's that important to be interesting and to have interesting things happen. And so, you know, of course, if you try to set up your translation and it fails, then, well, interesting things can happen there too.
So the translating rule will have special rules. Obviously, playing dumb a little bit here, you know, we've gotten to play test, but we also you want to be respectful of NDA. So we're not going to talk about specific elements that that you don't bring up. So but yeah, the translation is I think one of the really cool aspects of the game that is going to set it apart from a lot of other games.
I am curious to see what you think about how that is actually going to play out at the table. As far as, you know, rules versus, you know, the story element of things, from your internal testing and that sort of thing, it's like, how has that actually worked out?
Well, we've been having an internal playtest, and like Monty was saying, one of the things we learned in the playtest was that it's actually slightly better if you start your characters, as much as fun as it is to start your characters from a, hey, your characters know nothing about the strange whatsoever, if you actually start your characters out as agents of the estate, which is kind of, you know, a way you can go, and we provide a lot of support for that, it actually provides a lot more, you know, you can already have your three main recursions that you probably are going to know about, which is Rook, well, Earth, of course, and Arden. You can have those foci already preset on your character sheet and know a little bit about it, so that when you translate into Arden and suddenly you have a sword and maybe you're made of stone, you don't spend a half hour going, what's going on? How is this working? You know, you really do take on the context of Arden, which is what we say happens when you translate. If you're translating into a recursion, you're taking on the context, which means you should kind of be a little bit familiar. You can speak the language. You look like someone from that recursion. You know, people aren't going to look at you and go, oh, my God, aliens are invading. So
yeah,
if you kind of go in with that sort of context, it actually works out really well. And I don't want to say you shouldn't go in completely with some naive characters sometimes. You don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of fun to be had with those sorts of scenarios. I would call those almost Call of Cthulhu scenarios, where it's always like a surprise of like, whoa, my God, what's happening? And, you know, that can be fun too. But I think because of the nature of this game, you should also consider a game where you are playing agents or someone else who's in the know. And we provide a few ways to guide the GM and players through that sort of scenario.
Yeah, I think you could probably classify the different types of characters as kind of the completely naive on one end of the spectrum, the, you know, well-weathered recursioners on the other side, and then maybe in the middle are quickened and aware of it, but not,
yeah,
you know, necessarily super experienced.
That's kind of where I think that's the. Oops, go ahead.
So, or mentally unstable.
There's that too.
Yeah, I think that's actually, David, the sweet spot is kind of aware but unseasoned, and that's kind of what I would imagine the first tier characters who are like, okay, we've taken this job with the estate, but now we need some guidance. We need some training missions. You know, we need to talk to our supervising officer, and I'm actually been writing this Dark Spiral adventure kind of with that as one of the options. So kind of get into that a little bit more, kind of take players by the hand. A lot of, you know, non-estate PC lead-ins as well, because we don't want to assume that's the case.
Yeah, and you don't want to pigeonhole the characters for their starting choice.
Yep.
So.
Once you get past that initial stage, whether you start out as knowledgeable or not, your characters are going to get knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And the majority of your strange campaign, you know, you're going to know what you're doing. And what we've found was that it's pretty fun, actually, to get to that point where it's like, okay, we know we need to translate to Rook now. So, I almost think of it as like piloting a spaceship or something. Like everyone at the table has a role, and it's all, and everyone has a vital role, but it's all different. And so it's like, you know, you initiate the translation and ease the translation. You everyone's doing something different, and it's all very vital. And you work together as a team, which is another thing I really like about translation. You kind of figure it out and do the best that you can to make sure that your translation will be a success.
Absolutely. I think the only stumbling part we've ever run into, and again, not to get into specifics, but is when there are situations where there's a perceived need to translate quickly, to get out of a situation. So that'll be interesting to see how that kind of develops.
It's possible, but it's difficult.
Yeah. And for a little color background, and a recent playtest we've done, again, not going to give plot points away, but Brandon played kind of the veteran, one of the more veteran experienced guys. Andrew played the mentally unstable guy.
Yes.
Hence the comment earlier.
Were you guys playtesting the scenario from the core book?
We are, yes.
It's been very cool so far.
We actually did a scenario once. It was the three of us and Darcy several months back before that, and then we've done now two sessions of the core book adventure.
Excellent.
Yep. And good.
With the mechanics of translation that you sort of hinted about, that we do, it does take three people can help make it go faster or go easier. Do you have any things in the core book about what happens when people fail, like the translations fails or consequences of translation issues?
Yes, there's a very fun failure table.
Is somebody going to get it splooged?
All kinds of fun, interesting story effects basically are what can happen if you fail in your translation.
Yeah, we had one playtester report come back for the scenario in the core book where that's exactly what happened, right? They tried to translate to Arden, and they failed, and they ended up someplace they didn't expect, and they kind of had to talk their way out of it, and it turned out to be pretty cool. I was just reading through some playtest reports for that scenario a couple days ago.
Cool.
Yeah, from what I've seen of the, at least from the playtest versions of that table you're talking about, it sounds like as a GM, you're really going to want to have maybe a couple scenarios or a recursion or two kind of in your back pocket to pull out whenever that table happens to present some options.
Just so you're not completely unprepared and unawares.
Right.
That's a good point.
Well, it wouldn't be a role playing game session if the GM didn't get thrown in a loop once or twice, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, right.
But luckily, there's a bunch of recursions in the core book that are just right there for you to jump right into. So.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that segue, Mr. Bruce.
Yes. speaking of other recursions, now that you've largely got most of the book, finalized, it's like, how did the balance of the content kind of work out? It's like, I know you're kind of focused on, Arden and Rook, but like, how much would you say is actually focused on other recursions?
And the Strange.
Yes.
Itself.
Yeah. Well, the Strange itself gets a big chapter, and the other recursions gets a chapter. And we kind of treat the other recursions, there's, I don't know, like four or five that we kind of give a fairly, you know, a pretty big overview for, each something, you know, very interesting. Like one of these extra recursions, we actually give you a whole new focus or, within it. Another one, we give you like mutations. So it kind of they're kind of extensive, but not to the extent of Rook, Earth, or Arden.
Mm-hmm. Here's kind of the way I look at it. It's like as far as the book goes, each one of the other recursions is sort of there's a cool adventure if you go there. But mm-hmm. in Rook and Arden, there's enough material there to have like a whole campaign. Mm-hmm. You could have a whole campaign and never leave Arden if you wanted to. For example.
Gotcha. Oh yeah, especially Arden. Yeah. But Root 2. Yeah, it's true. Or Earth, actually, for that matter, because you know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the three main recursions, you'll have basically you've got Earth, and then pretty much that y'all the two main ones, you've got like a sci-fi and fantasy one. However, like reading up on some of the materials, they're anything but a generic sci-fi and fantasy. They're pretty, you know, pretty unique, pretty out there in some of the things that y'all have. Was there any pressure to actually give something that's maybe something that the normal player could relate more to, like your stereotypical fantasy versus, you know, where y'all went with it?
Well, here's the thing, right? It would because it's not that hard to just, as a game master, create your own recursion, and there are, you know, guidelines for doing that. It's super easy to just do that on your own, right? You can, you know, if you want Middle Earth as a recursion, you know, it's certainly like there's no lack of source material about it, you know, or even like if you were, you know, a D&D player and you made up your home D&D campaign world, it'd be really easy to make that a recursion.
Right, so it wasn't our job just to give you the same material that you can pick up off your shelf that you might do yourself. It was our job to come up with something completely new, you know, mm-hmm. Arden or Rook with a new twist on fantasy or a new twist on science fiction, and that's actually sort of the same way for some of these other recursions as well. Mm-hmm. There are some things that kind of play to some tropes, but we always tried to give you a few twists. To make it so it's not something you've seen before.
Well, you know, obviously with the experience from Numenera as well, you have done the pair of you have done a tremendous job introducing completely new worlds that are exciting to play. Yeah. I mean, that's one of my biggest drive. I've told you again and again that, you know, the setting of Numenera is what sucked me in from day one, but along with a great game system that supports it. But what's cool about it, though, is that it's so new and it's so different that there's a lot of work a GM has to do to set the setting. It's nice having Earth in the mix in The Strange because there is that kind of anchor to reality. And, you know, it's kind of fun to be able to play a game that you can use Google Maps to do, you know, to use and some of those kind of real worldy settings. But then it's also kind of a trap on the modern Earth side because, you know, I've had people go through an area that is a modern Earth setting. And, you know, if you describe in a dungeon that there's a chest, they go right for it. Oh, well, there's a chest. There's got, you know, it's there for us to go in and do. But if you start describing stuff in, say, an office building or a house, it's so familiar to them, they might not be as inquisitive or drawn to that. So, you know, do you guys have any suggestions for drawing people into, hey, you're missing something that because it's too commonplace for you?
Well, you have to put something non-commonplace in the house, right? You have to mm-hmm. put some weird painting of other recursions or, mm-hmm. you know, something that's, you know, out of place that will make players realize this is not just some guy's house. This is some guy's house who's been to strange places.
Sure. Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is I think people need to come into The Strange with kind of a mindset of, almost a detective style, you know, yes. game, a more investigative thing where Numenera focused more on discovery. I feel like The Strange is more about investigation and that seems to be a strong element in it is what I'm saying.
Well, I think you're right.
I think that's true. You know, it's really just a different kind of discovery, right? I mean, mm-hmm. in Numenera, mm-hmm. you're going through some incredibly alien thing and trying to discover, you know, what you can make of it and what it really is. And in The Strange, especially at the beginning when you're on Earth, it's, you know, you're just discovering, you know, the one little weird thing that might be going on in what is otherwise a normal place. And you have to mm-hmm. use more normal means. You know, you're not pulling out weird technology to solve your problems. You're, you know, pulling out your cell phone and your smartphone, and you're using Google Maps, like you said.
Absolutely. And that's another great example is, you know, especially working for an organization like The Strain or The Estate, I found I needed to kind of prompt them a little bit to remind them that you're in a modern world. You have a smartphone with a, you know, that you can call somebody, you can take pictures of stuff, you could, you know, check Google, you know, all sorts of stuff that are at your disposal that are your kind of tools that, especially in a modern world, it's pretty crazy what you could do.
That's magic.
And I think some of that will, you know, if you're playing in a game where the players at least have maybe had access to like a player's guide and that kind of thing, where they've been given a little bit of setting material, I think that would probably come a little more naturally versus, say, what we've experienced in some of the playtests, for example.
True.
Yeah, agreed sure. there.
Because
basically they're saying I didn't set them up.
Yeah.
All right.
The Strange, don't watch Desolation of Smog, watch True Detective.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a nice reference there.
Or The Killing, you got, as Monty actually recently turned me on to.
Which one? The Killing?
Killing on Netflix.
Yeah. Heard that one's awesome. Good. Monty turned me on to True Detective, so thanks for that, Monty.
Both of them very cool.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Hopefully the True Detective will come to Netflix in a year or so. Or someplace very I can buy cool. it.
Well, great. Well, you guys mentioned that there's some other recursions. I don't know if you want to talk about any of them or mention any of them, but we certainly would love to hear about any of them.
Why don't you pick one, Bruce, and...
All right, let's talk about the one at the top of the list. It's called Adam Nocturne, and Adam Nocturne is a recursion that operates under the law of psionics, and it's basically kind of a kind of a mashup of
What? Bruce Cordell did something with psionics?
Really?
Yeah, but it's a mashup of anime and superheroes with psionics as kind of that underlying power source. So
very cool.
It's pretty
that
cool.
Sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. And people. You know, everyone is, you know, because it's anime, everyone is youthful and glamorous and amazing. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. And but, of course, you know, people who are messing with these sonic powers, sometimes, you know, you have the supervillains, I guess. Although in Adam Nocturne, they're called the Fallen. And that's someone who's an NPC, usually, probably, who... can't quite deal with the sonic power that they've been given, and they kind of rot from the inside and become evil.
I'm refraining from jokes about X's.
About what?
About X's. So Adam Nocturne, is that one word? Is that two words, three words?
Two words. Adam, two like words. You'd expect, and then Nocturne uh-huh. with an E at the end.
Cool. All right. Very cool. Did someone have a question that I talked over when I was joke about?
I was just going to say that sounds like a pretty pretty interesting little setting.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that offers its own foci, which is Awakens Dangerous Psionic Talent or Awakens Dangerous Psychic Talent.
Nice.
Is that one that stays there, or is that one that can be brought along?
It could be brought along to any recursion that had psionics as its the law it operated under, but I don't think we've actually I don't know how many other recursions we have that have that. So
well,
I don't. It's not.
Recursions book. There will certainly will be some.
Yes. Yes, there will.
Very cool. Well, thank you for that tidbit. That that's got the excitement flowing for sure. Just excitement. That's all.
So just to continue that though, when you enter the strange from a recursion, you can't enter the strange directly from Earth. But when you enter the strange from recursion through one of the interface points, you take with you any. So even if it's not a draggable foci, you take with you any foci you have. So if you entered the strange from Adam Nocturne, you would certainly, while you were in the strange, have that active.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
So basically, if you're having an adventure in the strange and you need a certain power, you can go, all right, we got to go to Rook because I need this power to come back.
Yeah. I just realized that's. I should probably back up. When I say the strange, I'm talking here, the strange itself, the dark energy network, not the Gitneon. I just realized that might be a little confusing to a listener.
Good point. That's cool. Very cool.
Do you guys expect all PCs to be originating from Earth, or do you have rules, or is it written that you can say, "Hey, this character actually started in Arden, didn't exist."
Yeah, we
in
had
Earth.
A playtest character in our internal playtest who she started in Arden and joined with the rest of the group. It's not difficult.
Yep, cool. And we suggest that as a possibility too. But yeah, you can start from any place, and it just presumes that your character is a a character who has the spark, and is quickened, quickened like a PC is.
The next
very cool.
The next time that I run the strange, the thing that I want to do is I want to start with everyone being from Arden. And actually have multiple sessions that are just in Arden, and you think that you're just playing in a fantasy game, and then all of a sudden you discover, oh, wait, there's actually a much larger world around us, and our world might not actually be 100% the quote-unquote real world, and those kind of discoveries kind of happening backwards.
Very cool.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome to play in if I didn't, didn't already know all about this.
Yeah, it would definitely be difficult to pull off if they, people knew about it in advance. But it would be perfect if you could somehow find a group of people who didn't know anything about it and then just reveal that to them.
Absolutely.
I know several years back, a friend of mine, we both kind of had these plans for like one person would be running like a space fantasy campaign, and someone else would be running a typical fantasy campaign, and then basically having the two groups meld together at the end and realize that, oh, look, you guys are all playing in the same world. We never quite managed to pull it off, but we actually had some thoughts on it. It would have been pretty cool.
Totally. Awesome. Cool. This is a really, really off topic, but when Monty and I were in college. We went to college in separate states, but we were both, I guess, GMs, or maybe, I don't know. We both ran games, and we told each other about all the player characters in each other's games. And I took his player characters, and I created them as NPCs in my game and had all my characters, probably ended up fighting them, actually. It was pretty cool.
Right, and I did the same thing with Bruce's PCs.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, well, that's cool. You already have the kind of ideas and the character concepts, built for you. I could see how that could be advantageous. Well, that's cool. Well, one thing I was thinking recently about the strange was, you guys are kind of, I don't want to use the word zeitgeist, but, with the kind of recent scientific news about the likelihood of the multiverse and all that type of thing, it really rings well with what the premise of the strange is. Have you guys thought about that or gotten excited about that kind of?
Well, I follow the news on dark energy specifically pretty closely because this kind of what predicated the entire idea for, the strange. And it, the fact that, you know, 75% of the matter and energy in the universe is dark energy, and we don't know what that is, and it just keeps growing and expanding, accelerating the universe, you know, for me was just an amazing thing saying, okay, maybe there is evidence of alien intelligence out there, and it's dark energy, right? And I was kind of going forward with that, and I actually heard Jill Tarter, the astronomer who Contact, the movie, was kind of based on, say that in an interview like a year and a half ago, and I go, oh my God, I'm not the only one thinking that. So that's so that yes, so we all of us follow all this news very interestedly because, you know, it's all on the fringe of science, and that's what makes it so exciting.
Absolutely. Wasn't it Sagan who said something to the effect of, I don't know what's more frightening, the idea that there's something else out there, and or the idea that there's not something else out there?
I don't know who said that, but that sounds like a good quote.
Yeah.
I think it was actually.
Personally, I think probably, it would be more scary if there was nothing else out there, because, like, really? That means there's this very scary reason why.
Yeah.
Which I think you've brought up as an explanation for things in the game.
That's true. Yep.
Jump for planet of wars.
Yeah, those things are frightening.
We have a piece of art that came in for the planet of wars, which is awesome. Very excited about it.
Where would you guys say you are in the production of The Strange compared to last year of the new Monera?
I would say we're probably in even better shape. Not because things were bad, because we have so much more experience, and we have a whole team of us working together to pull all the parts together and fulfill all the different things. You know, we're like Bruce mentioned, the fan kit and the player kit, which are just a lot of cool things that, you know, go along with helping you play The Strange or making your Strange book cooler, you know, with a signed book plate or whatever. And, you know, we're pulling those together now, and it's April, right? And you know, so the fact that we want to make everything deliverable by the beginning of August is very, very doable at this point.
Very cool. That's good news.
I was going to say, it seems like, you know, actually having, you know, a full company in place has got to be better than trying to build it, you know, bootstrap it up right in the middle of putting a book together.
It really, really, really is.
Very cool. I
mean, we're very, very lucky in the team that we have assembled, and you know, everyone really knows what they're doing, and well, you know, Charles Ryan, Tammy Ryan, Shauna Germain, and I, we're all there for the actual you know, fulfillment of Numenera. So we kind of know what to do and what not to do, and the pitfalls to avoid, and you know, we've also we are still to this day with Numenera one of the larger, or if not perhaps the largest, RPG Kickstarter that has ever, you know, fulfilled all of its orders. And you know, we didn't just learn a lot from that. We, for example, you know, informed Drive-Thru RPG on the best way to handle that. And so now, you know, not only can The Strange benefit from that experience, but now everyone who fulfills their Kickstarter, you know, with their PDFs to drive through, just as an example, can benefit from the experience that we had last year, you know, sending out whatever it was, 9,000 PDFs in the course of just a couple of days or something. Which,
that's awesome.
Is, yeah, you know, it sounds like that's the kind of thing that you can do with a push of a button, but it turns out you can't.
Yeah, I've done mass mailings in multiple jobs. I know how difficult that can be. There's a reason why spam filters are so good. Well, that's awesome. A couple questions I had. Are you guys planning, I don't remember if there's been discussion of this yet, but are you guys planning any kind of supplemental information for the Strange similar to the Glimmers?
Well, we have... Okay, well, I actually was going to bring this up before, but this is not exactly what you're asking. But I also want to point out that Monty and I are also writing more fiction for The Strange.
Yay.
And, very cool.
And I'm not sure exactly when that will be coming out, but it was one of the Kickstarter promises. I think it's going to be called Tales of the Strange.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And,
cool.
And Monty, do you know if that's coming out before Gen Con?
I want to say July, but it might be late June, early July, something like that.
Cool.
Oh, very
so
cool.
Like the Tales from the Ninth World, that will be, it'll come out before the game. It'll be kind of a way to ease people into the setting and give people an idea of what's going on and everything, and nice introduction. And to answer your actual question, yes, we are going to have a line of basically short ebook only Strange support.
That's very cool.
I don't know that if we've announced this yet, so this might actually be an announcement, but we're going to be calling those fractals.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Cool.
I think that's the first I've heard of that. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Very cool. Cool name. Well, you know, I have to say the reason I brought it up is, and I know I'm a total fanboy and everybody knows that, but the what you guys have done with the Glimmers for Numenera is really, I think, awesome. Not that other people haven't done great supplemental ebook style things, but the fact that you've built a series at it, you continue to put it out on a very frequent basis, and it's built, it's limber, it serves all sorts of needs very well, and everyone that comes out, like you just announced today, the GM Intrusions one for Numenera, which is just, you know, awesome stuff. So that's kudos to that, and I'm glad to hear Fractals is going to exist.
Yeah, those Glimmers have definitely, as probably David could attest, improved my game as a GM, especially the last one of the
injecting
the weird. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I kind of ordered him to get that.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good one, and I'm really looking forward to the GM Intrusions ones, because that's where I suffer the most with the Cypher system.
Well, you know, it is very gratifying to have the means to react to the things that clearly players and GMs need more of. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Glimmers are for, and I'm glad it's working out. And the Fractals, I think, will serve the same purpose.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm already thinking of multiple things you could release as Fractals, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, that's before even seeing the core book. So I'm sure there's a lot in the core book that's going to blow us away, and we're really enthusiastic about that. So to kind of wrap up, what are the kind of the next steps? You talked about that you've got the fiction work coming out for The Strange. Obviously, the core book is steaming, you know, steaming through the process and headed towards us. You know, as you said, early August. Obviously, again, time for Gen Con. That's kind of convenient how that worked out. almost as if it was planned. So have you guys got any convention plans in the works? Anything like, you know, Numenera, you had the Vortex, so you had kind of a set module going into that. And obviously with a company behind you now, you can have more organized stuff for people who want to support the games at ones even that you're not going to.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of a complicated question, but we are working on putting together more and more assistance for people who want to run games at conventions or at game stores. And you can go to montycookgames.com and use the contact form there, and if it's not already, soon that will be tailored to set up so that if that is your specific need, there will be a specific contact form there. And we plan on creating some specific stuff, you know, some special scenarios that will be available only for, you know, that. I mean, what I'm saying is that we won't just hand you something we've already sold as a product. It'll be a brand new scenario.
Very cool.
But in addition to that, I do want to hype that you know, at Gen Con this year, we are going to have you know, I don't know what the proper multiplier is, but you know, 5 times, 10 times the amount of game support that we had last year at Gen Con. We have a whole big group of volunteer game masters. We're going to have a room dedicated to nothing but the Cypher System games. So that
nice.
Strange and Numenera games going on all there together. We will, you know, Bruce and I are both running games that we made as part of the Kickstarter rewards. And there'll be a brand new scenario, you know, that if so, if people, you know, if even if you've played everything that is possible to play for Numenera and the Strange already, you know, there'll be a brand new scenario at Gen Con too.
Fantastic.
What's the name of your Numenera scenario, Monty?
Into the Violet Veil.
Ooh.
What's
Ooh.
The Strange called?
It's called Eschatology Code.
Awesome.
Do you guys know what eschatology is?
No.
No.
I know I've heard the term. And as soon as you say it,
I've heard
I'm
the term.
Exactly.
Okay, yay.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds recognizable to me, but I'm not going to.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like, I've never heard that, but you're like, ooh.
No.
Okay, so does it sound intriguing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's the name of what I'll be running.
I'm going to go look it up. Well, that's fantastic. So we'll have special adventures for both games. That's great news. And that increased presence at Gen Con is fantastic. Obviously, I think all three of us are going. Aren't you going, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I know which room I'm hanging out most in.
Yeah, yeah, right. Right. Well, you know you have three dedicated folks that are definitely going to be
did you guys
eager
say
to help out.
Did you guys be wearing your operative of the estate cosplay costumes there, too?
We did. We were inspired by Bruce. So before the call started, we were talking about all cosplaying as the estate
awesome.
Guys.
Matching suits or something, right?
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool. Hey, Bruce, don't you have a convention appearance coming up pretty soon, too?
Next week, actually. I'm going to be at VikingCon.
Very
and,
cool.
I'll be just sitting on a couple panels, but I think I also get a table, so I will have a bunch of Numenera and, well, I guess only Numenera books because there's no Strange books yet. So, available.
And cool. It's probably worth mentioning that Shauna and I will be at UK Games Expo in Birmingham, England, the beginning of June, I believe.
Excellent. You're getting to go to the UK. That's great news. Can I go in your luggage?
That's what I was going to ask.
I'm a huge, huge Anglophile. I've been 3 times. I would gladly go any day, year. Well, that's awesome. Anything else? So we've got the fiction to look forward to first, and then the Gen Con stuff, and obviously the convention stuff, and then obviously the big release at the at Gen Con. Are we going to have a big launch release for The Strange, and are you going to piggyback that with Numenera news, or are you going to have separate sessions for Numenera and The Strange?
I believe that there will be a separate I know that there's going to be a big Strange launch. Mm-hmm. I believe we'll also have a Numenera panel, but like with the Numenera launch last year, if you're at all interested in The Strange, or if you're an MCG fan at all, you'll definitely want to be there for The Strange launch because it's going to have some cool special stuff.
Cool,
very cool. Great. The Numenera launch was very awesome last year, so yeah, definitely show up for that one.
Yeah, I'm bringing a tripod this time. That's all.
Ah, yes. Don't record with your iPad this time.
Excellent news. Well, does anybody else have any other questions before we let the two fine gentlemen go?
No, I don't think so. I think that that's a show.
Yeah, I really appreciate the information you guys have shared with us this show. It's definitely going to whet a lot of people's appetites and help increase the already fervent excitement about it.
Cool.
Very cool.
Andrew, I stepped on you there. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, I'm good. Y'all, thanks for coming and talking to us. It's been very informative and very exciting.
Happy to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, thank you guys. And with this, we'll end the show. Thank you everybody for listening, and please keep an ear out. We'll try to have another episode sooner than this one occurred. There was quite a space between this one and the last one, but we'll try as we ramp up for the launch to have another one sooner. And we may talk with some other participants in the game. So thank you guys for coming, and y'all have a wonderful night.
Yeah. Take care, man.
Bye.